The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Sure enough, the ref was over. What's your name? And him talking to me for all match the ref. He's the captain for Trouser up and he's chatting. I'm loving the Paddy set. Paddy Andrews, red card.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Now it's time to look ahead to the weekend's hurling, and what a packed weekend of hurling it is in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship, because we've two provincial deciders to be decided between Saturday and Sunday, as well as a couple of win or go home All-Ireland Round 1 qualifiers on Saturday afternoon. The first of those, Clare against Wexford at Semple Stadium at 1:30. Then Laois take on Waterford at UPMC Nolan Park for a 2:00 throw-in. Later on that evening, it's the Leinster Senior Hurling Final. Dublin looking to win the title for the first time since 2013. They take on Kilkenny at Croke Park, the defending champions. That gets underway at 7:30. And then on Sunday, it is All-Ireland and defending Munster champions Limerick up against Tipperary at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. That game gets underway at 4:15 p.m. Looking ahead to all of this, we have former Galway All-Star Aisling Connolly with us. Aisling, thanks a million for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here, Neil. How are you?
I'm good now. I'm very well. I might start with the Munster final, Limerick and Tipperary, just because I know you're based in Limerick, and I was at home last week in Limerick as well, and just chatting to a few people. I have to say, it just all still feels a bit strange that how quickly things have changed, because as I was home, I've never seen so many Limerick people picking holes in an 8-point Munster semi-final win against Cork.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Limerick beat Cork comfortably, you could say. You know, they started off not as strong as they normally do, with Cork going on the attack, and, you know, by the first water break, Limerick were actually down 1-3 to 4 points. So it was uncharacteristic of Limerick, you know, you could say for the first 25 minutes, Cork seemed to be on top. But then just before halftime, two brilliant goals from Limerick, Kyle Hayes, an amazing goal, and brought them on top then for halftime. But in saying that, like, they had 20 wide throughout the game. They weren't up to the standards that they have been over the last couple of years. So I'm sure over the, you know, the last, you know, 2 weeks, they would have been working on that, especially their shooting practice, a training, to try and get that rectified, because they can't have 20 wides against Tipperary if they want to go back to back and win three in a row Munster titles this weekend.
No, certainly not. And like, what is the general feeling down around there among hurling fans? Do they think that these are issues that are likely to be ironed out this weekend and, you know, over the course of the rest of the campaign as well? Or does it feel like these are actual issues, that they started quite slowly against Cork, could have been 5 points down after 25 minutes had it not been for Nicky Quaid saving the penalty? And, you know, it's not every day you're going to score two goals right in the stroke of half time that's going to completely swing a match.
Yeah, the general feeling is that Limerick are favourites, but we're going to, like, that Limerick are going to have to put up a really strong performance to beat this, you know, tip team. Sheedy is going to want to get, you know, one up on this Limerick team. They've lost the last couple of times they have, you know, played together or against one another. Also, I'm sure, you know, the elephant in the room on the tip team is that everyone is saying, oh, this team is aging, you know, the likes of the Mahers, Shane Callan, you know, they've a lot of mileage on the clock. So I'm sure that's going to be used as an incentive to drive on tip, in addition to what happened against Clare for tip, where Aidan McCarthy was sin-binned, and, you know, it was deemed that Tipperary were, you know, got a lucky break. So all of these things, those three things, I think Sheedy will use as ammunition to drive them on. But, you know, just to your original question, if Limerick are firing on all cylinders, they'll be hard to stop, is the general feeling down here in Limerick.
Yeah, I was reading in the Irish Examiner this week, the author of it escapes me now, but making the point that when it comes to Limerick's wides, they had 20 last time out against Cork at Semple Stadium, that in general, if you look back over the course of the last couple of seasons, they are averaging in and around the 15 wides, which is relatively high, but that they seem to be quite happy to have that number, and they seem to be happy to shoot on sight, because there seems to be a theory that if they are hitting the ball wide and they're putting it out of play, that it's stopping the opposition from setting up any counterattacks, you know, rather than putting hopeful balls into a full forward line that gets turned over and you might find yourself in a bit of trouble, that if it does go wide, they're able to reset themselves and get themselves set up for the next puck out.
Yeah, and what everyone says about this Limerick team is how composed they are, how confident they are on the ball, how they don't waste possession. So, you know, they're not going to, you know, they won't waste the ball, you know, easily, and they'll take their shots from, you know, way out. And they're always, like you mentioned there, that they have a slow start. I don't think that's a major concern, or they had a slow start against Tip, because they're so composed that even if they have a rocky 20 minutes, it's not like their heads drop. You know, Caroline Courage, their psychologist, has done amazing work with them, and all the players, if you listen to them on interviews, they nearly always mention her, which is quite phenomenal, like, because you don't really hear the psychologists getting shout outs that often. But she, you know, when they won you know, the All-Ireland, she was mentioned you know, last year and 3 years ago. So, you know, I don't think they're if they have a slow start like they did against Tip, that it's not going to impact them too much. They'll keep ticking the ball over, they'll keep getting scores and playing the ball and winning possession, as you said. And also that, you know, they're going to, this is the first year that the Munster Cup has a name on it. It's the McMackey Cup. And that's going to be a little bit of an extra incentive for Limerick to bring the McMackey back to Limerick for the first time ever in the history. So it's going to be a nail-biting stuff. You know, Tip are going to throw the kitchen sink at it, as are Limerick. But, you know, it's hard to see Limerick being bet just because how on form they are at the moment.
Yeah, and it is interesting you mentioned how often and how deliberate it almost seems that, like, Caroline Curran gets mentioned by the players in post-match interviews after they've won Munster titles and All-Ireland titles. Like, it does actually seem quite deliberate that they want to make a point of saying, of highlighting the impact she's had on them. And is it one side of Limerick's game that, like, when things aren't going well for them in games, as it was against Cork in those opening 25 minutes, that they don't seem like a side that are ever willing to panic anymore? Maybe in 2019 you could say against Kilkenny that they possibly did panic a little, but, you know, certainly over the last year or 18 months or 2 years even, since that 2019 semi-final, when things haven't been going right for them in games, they seem to have just plugged along and ploughed their way through it and eventually got to where they needed to be.
Yeah, and you're right. It is amazing that they keep calling her out. And, you know, she was with Tyrone, she was with Tip, she's with Dublin Footballers. So she must be amazing. I'd love to be in some of the meetings that she has with the players. And I know that, you know, Gareth Hegarty in his Man the Match performance last year, you know, he described it as an outer body experience and just how he was so in the zone. And I think that's what Caroline Curd in particular brings to the team, in addition to obviously Kylie and Knirk, is that they're so in the zone. And that they're so focused and so composed, and whether it's a sin binning that, you know, that is thrown at them, or whether, you know, they cork through the, you know, 25 minutes they Limerick were behind, they're always able to, you know, and even in the All-Ireland final in 2017 against, you know, Galway, they're always, or 2018, they're always able to stay composed, keep the scoreboard ticking over and grind it out. And also in addition to that, you know, mentally, you know, the finishers who are there to come on are as equally tuned in. You know, you'll have the likes of Graham McCahy or Pat Ryan that would be able to come on if needs be this weekend and finish it for them. So it's not just the 15, it's very much seems to be a unit and a culture that they have, similar to, I guess, what Kilkenny are traditionally known for down through the years. And Caroline Curd is you know, a major, you know, person who has had an impact on that.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the strength and depth they have, like they've a fit again, Richie English back in the full back line this season, and that has meant that Dan Morrissey, of all people, has been pushed out onto the subs bench. Now, we don't know, is he going to be starting or on the bench this weekend, but against Cork, he started off on the bench and came on during the match as well. Like, to have that level of a player and that level of just a physical presence and an athlete as well to be able to introduce into the second half of a game is incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that is tipping Limerick as the number one team in the country at the moment, is the strength and depth of their panel. If you look at, like, Clare and Wexford, who are playing, you know, later in the, you know, are playing the weekend as well. Like, Wexford, when they went to extra time against Kilkenny in the Leinster semi-final, they had to re-bring on their players, Nemo McOvergovern, Dermot O'Keefe, which is hard. You know, it's very hard for players who are actually give it everything, and then extra time they're asked to come on again. Whereas Limerick have fresh pair of legs and they've all stars. They've really, really talented players on the bench, which, you know, as I said, gives them the extra edge over and makes them the favourites. And I guess the reason that they've been so successful down through the years.
So for Tipperary then, they were beaten by Limerick by 9 points when the teams met in the Munster final last year, or in the Munster Championship last year. Is there much to suggest that they've closed the gap in that time?
Well, with Tip, there isn't too much new blood, you could say, on the team, with the exception, I guess, of Jake Morris, who's really come to the fore. They're still very much reliant on their old reliables, the Mahers, Jason Ford, Bubbles Dwyer, Shami Callan. But to be fair, like, you know, there's talk that Sheedy is so loyal to them and that down through the years, but they produce the goods. And, you know, I'm sure viewers who were watching the semi-final 2 weeks ago will have noticed how lean and mean, you know, the Tipperary players looked, especially Bubbles O'Dwyer is in the shape of his life. Shami Callan was also looking very fit. So, you know, I think there's one big game left in this Tipperary team, and, you know, they didn't win the Munster final 2 years ago and then went on to win the All-Ireland. But they'll want to win this match. So they'll be going hell for leather. And it's going to be really interesting to see the matchups, like who picks up Keane Lynch, who picks up Shami Callan, you know, or is Pádraig Maher in the full back line? Is he going to have the legs for, say, Aaron Gillan? I know Brendan Maher marked Aaron Gillan a couple of years ago. Is that going to happen again? So the matchups, they're both really shrewd people, and Eamon O'Shea in the Tipperary background team is every bit as creative and as intelligent as Paul Knirk and Kylie doing the matchups. So it's going to be really interesting to see who marks who and who nullifies who.
Well, on those matchups then, like if you were to take what you think are going to be the prospective teams on Sunday, what players are going on what Limerick players to give Tipperary a chance of winning this Sunday?
So I think Cathal Barrett, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the game, you know, very close to Sean Finn, will go on Peter Casey. I think Tipperary are going to have to really think about Garrett Hegarty, because he's such an engine for Limerick, and when he's going well, Limerick are going well. So they might put you know, a strong tall man on him, like Barry Heffernan, who plays out the field for his club Nina, and is well able to take his scores. Who's going to go on Keane Lynch? You know, he's such a, I think he clocks up the most kilometres of all the Limerick team in midfield, 16 or 17 kilometres a day every time he goes out. So who's going to be picking him up? Will it be Dan McCormack to, you know, or will it be Brendan Maher to do a man marking job on him? Probably Dan McCormack, I would say. I think Brendan is might sit back in wing back a little bit more. And also then Jason Ford going to go on, you know, where is he going to be positioned? Is Shami Callan going to come out centre forward? It's going to be interesting. But as I said, I think that Peter Casey will go on, or Cathal Barrett will mark Peter Casey, and then the half back line of will have to be for Limerick, and the half forward line will definitely have to be nullified if Tipperary are going to be in with a chance. But I think Keane Lynch is such a pivotal player for Limerick as well. It's going to be very interesting to see who goes on him. I think it'll probably be Dan McCormack myself.
Looking back at Tipperary's game against Clare, I saw a good stat during the week. 215 out of Tipperary's 323 came directly from turnovers. Is that their main threat, winning ball against Limerick and countering, or is it a bit different? Are Limerick going to be using the ball a little bit better than Clare were a couple of weeks back?
Yeah, so I think Tipperary are, you know, this year, one of the biggest things that you'll notice from kind of previous years is their distribution of the ball. So from their full back line and half back line, they're not as belting the ball down the field as much as they used to be. They're more moving it up the lines, kind of more Limerick-esque. So I suspect that we will see more of that because, you know, as you said, it's all about primary possession. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But you know, a lot of it comes down to the puckouts. Then, you know, are they going to go long puckouts against the, you know, Tipperary? Like Limerick are very, very tall, and they have very, very strong aerial possession. The likes of, you know, Kyle Hayes, Declan Hannan, Do you know, so are they going to go short puckouts and move it up the lines? So it's going to be, I think it's going to come down to primary possession and in particular the puckouts. And very much so again with Nicky Quaid, like what's he going to do? Are they going to do short puckouts, which traditionally they do, and then move it up the lines? So yeah, it's going to be, I guess, possession is king, and whoever has the most possession, whoever keeps the cool the most is going to win this game.
And if Limerick are pucking the ball out short, as you said you expect they probably will be, is it a case for Tipperary that they're pushing up on that, or are they letting Limerick win that initial first ball and trying to turn it over further out the pitch and dropping the men back?
I think they will push up. I think they're going to have to be so dogged and so ferocious, and they're going to, their work rate is going to have to be unbelievable. So I think if you even let Limerick get a sniff of the ball, it's very hard to take it off them because of that. What we mentioned earlier is that they are so composed mentally, and you know, all of their training, I know it's gone that way now, but even like more so with Limerick, it seems Paul Knirk, it's all game based, it's all balls and like position and like winning the ball. So they're very, very composed. So yeah, Tipperary are going to have to really press up, and I suspect that if they go short, that you know, Shamie Callanan, you know, Jake Morris, Jason Ford are going to have to be, are going to be primed to work like dogs to try and you know, dispossess them and turn over the ball.
I'll wait till we finish up fully before I get I'll get all your predictions together for the weekend. But we'll move on to the Leinster hurling final. That's tomorrow evening, 7:30, throw-in at Croke Park. And 18,000 fans hopefully going to be at it as well, which is going to be fantastic to see at Croke Park. Yeah. Dublin against Kilkenny. Dublin, I think, shocked us all against Galway a few weeks back. I'm not sure anyone really saw that coming. Are they capable of producing that back-to-back, though?
It's going to be very difficult because Kilkenny are just Kilkenny and Leinster finals, and they have just this amazing ability to slog it out and win the games. And you're spot on. Dublin were deserved winners against Galway. They didn't let Galway hurl. You know, they led from the word go, and they were really impressive. In particular, like Danny Sutcliffe and Burke and their half forward line, Crummy. So it is going to be an interesting battle. There's a big question mark over Owen O'Donnell, the Dublin fullback. He is arguably, you know, one of the best fullbacks in the country. He's one of Dublin's best players. So if he is out, that's going to be a huge blow to
Dublin. Is that a complete game changer if he isn't able to play?
Yes, it is a complete game changer because he would be, you know, he's just experienced. He commands the position. He's brilliant, you know, on the high ball, and it is a massive blow. But in saying that, like Matty Kenny for Dublin is, you know, he's a real hurling man. He's back-to-back All-Irelands with Coola. You know, he's, you know, he'll really, really want this game. And Dublin, you know, due to the bereavements that they've had, unfortunately, you know, sometimes that can, you know, in this year, the last couple of weeks, sometimes that can give you, you know, an extra cause, an extra reason to play with an edge, because you have this extra piece of motivation behind you. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a tight game, but it's very hard to look past Kilkenny, especially with, you know, TJ Reid on form, and especially also with their subs, or their finishers as they're called. You know, that Walter Walsh came on the last day against Wexford and scored 1-1. You know, Bergen came on and scored a point, you know, so they have a strong subs bench that I think will push them over the edge. But yeah, it's going to be hard to see Dublin push another performance back to back, especially because Dublin are brilliant when they're the underdogs. They are still the underdogs in this game, but you know, they had such an impressive performance over Galway that some people are saying, geez, you know, Dublin could rattle Kilkenny. And you know, I don't think that works in Dublin's favour, to be honest, when they're anyway not the underdog.
Yeah, and like, as I think a lot of people pointed out as well, that the physicality of Dublin against Galway, like Galway just really couldn't kind of get to grips with the game on a physical level. That always seems to be exactly like Kilkenny just seem to love it when you want to bring the game physically to them. Like, they're just going to be sitting there waiting for that to happen, it seems.
Yeah, and like Brian Cody, you know, he's just a genius of a man, and he's just one of the GAA's amazing managers. And, you know, it's just like a conveyor belt down there. Like, you think Henry Shefflin, Eddie Brennan, those lads gone, then you think Colin Fenley gone this year. You know, but year in, year out, they're able to just churn out the players. Like, you know, and Cody this year is going well. Adrian Mullen, another young hurler of the year. TJ Reid still flying at Pádraig Walsh, centre back, amazing family that they have managed to have, like Tommy, all-star year after year. Now Pádraig, centre-back, you know, Lorden and their sister Grace Walsh, you know, for hurler, Camogie player of the year last year, and you know, one of Kilkenny's great Camogie players. So, you know, it's just, yeah, as you said, they just, you know, they've just got this culture, this spirit, this never die attitude that you can never write them off. They're all Ireland contenders every single year. You know, we saw that 2019 when they bet, you know, Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-final. You know, they were underdogs, you know, and they'd lost a good few players. You know, they were a team in transition, Maria, but yet they still came out and, you know, bet Limerick in the semi-final. So yeah, you can bring the physicality, you can bring all the tactics, you can bring the spirit against Kilkenny, but more often than not, they just love that, as you said, and they grind out the win. They're just so dogged in their intentions to win the game.
Yeah, elsewhere tomorrow then, no silverware on the line. But bizarrely, I feel like I've actually heard more about Clare against Wexford this week than I have of either of the two provincial finals, which I think it just says so much about the Davy and Brian Lowen rivalry. It says so much about the bizarre COVID close contact situation that they had back in the league as well. There is a phenomenal subplot running through this Clare and Wexford game, even aside from the fact that whoever loses is done for the season.
Yeah, like the drama is just unbelievable, and it makes for a more exciting game. And I guess you could argue that there's two matches going on within this one game. You have like the Brian Lowen Davy Fitz match, and then you have the match on the field. But yeah, it's been well documented that the two sides don't get on from years back when they were involved with LIT and Brian with UL. And as you mentioned, the COVID element, and then, you know, the Wexford County Board asking Brian Lowen to come out and apologise, and no close contacts in the Wexford team, and two and Clare. And, you know, there's just no love lost between these two teams. And I think Clare are going to feel really, you know, they're going to use that as ammunition. They're going to use the Aidan McCarthy sin bin and the penalty that was awarded. That was, you know, very well documented. And, you know, a lot of people thought that it shouldn't have been a penalty. Yes, it was inside the 21 yard, but it was way out the corner side. You know, side, and you know, there was loads of defenders behind the ball. So I think they're going to feel aggrieved, and they're going to come in with a massive chip on their shoulder, which will make for nail-biting stuff. And like from the Wexford side of things, then, like the last eight times that these teams have met, like Clare have won six times in championships. So Davy is not going to want to, you know, let that slide, and he'll want to, you know, win this game and prove a point as well. So Wexford are, you know, they came off a remarkable game against Kilkenny, and they lost by 8 points in the end, but that didn't, you know, that wasn't a reflection of the game. They should have won in normal time, but again, just extra time, the subs and the legs kind of seemed to go against them, and Kilkenny you know, drove on. But it's going to be like, out of all the games this weekend, I think this is the hardest one to call because they're so close. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see who wins the Clare and Wexford game. It's you know, it's kind of do or die at this stage. So it's going to be helter skelter, as they say.
Yeah, like, I mean, as we said, there's no silverware on the line, but there's so much jeopardy on the line that really just adds to it. And it feels like it has the potential to be a defining game for both managers, whoever wins and whoever loses. If, for example, if Clare were to win and Wexford were to finish up, it's 5 years now Davy has been in charge at Wexford. Could you see Davy moving on if they were dumped out of the championship this weekend?
Yeah, I could. I think, as you say, Davy's strong point is kind of coming in and getting young players and getting them to buy into what he is doing, and, you know, them all steering behind him. And then as the years go by, it's harder and harder to do that. So yeah, 5 year stint is a long time. They won a Leinster title. They've had some success, you know, should have beaten Tipperary in the All-Ireland semi-final there. a few years back, definitely should have beaten them. And then they lost form massively last year. And this year they seem to be coming good again. So I think this is like one, you know, big year for Wexford, big year for Davy Fitz. But yeah, as you said, I think it is his last year. And it's interesting that you talk about the two managers, because they're polar sides apart. Like, you know, Davy is so animated and, you know, is so vocal, and, you know, Brian is just so kind of not as animated and doesn't give much away in his post-match interviews. Gave a little bit more away after the Tipperary game, because you could see his frustration, but is quite direct, and you don't see too much tactic boards or you know, the water breaks when Clare are playing. It's a kind of more, seems to be more of a direct approach and a more a hurling kind of approach, as opposed to whereas Wexford would be quite tactical, you know, with their sweeper down to the years, etc. So it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be who's going to pick up Tony Kelly, who's going to nullify him, who's going to pick up Lee Shin. I think they are the two men to watch. There's so much talk about Tony Kelly, but yet against Kilkenny, you know, they had so many more other scorers, you know, so they're not just purely relying on him. They have the Galvins, Reedy, Aaron Shannon. A lot is going to come down to that, who marks him, and if his shooting boots are on, I think Clare then will have a great chance. And similarly with Wexford, you know, I think if it comes down to extra time, I think Wexford will be in trouble. And if it's very tight at the end of the, you know, from the final water break to the end, I think Wexford could be in trouble as well, because they just don't seem to have the strength and the depth in the panel to kind of close out a game.
Yeah, I sense you're leaning towards Clare. I'll get the final word in a moment, though. Oh, the other qualifier tomorrow afternoon, Laois against Waterford. Laois had a good win against Antrim last time out, but does it feel like maybe their road is going to end this weekend?
Yeah, it does to me anyway. And you know, they've retained their Division One status for next year. You know, Waterford, I think, are coming off a very poor performance versus Tip. Yes, they were riddled with injuries from Prunty and Barron and Tadhg Dabhurcha. They may give those players another week's rest against Laois and then bring them out for the following game. But yeah, it's hard to see Laois beating Waterford, and I think Waterford have to be like Scolded Cats, because they just flopped really, to put it bluntly, against Tip. So I imagine Cahill will have them, you know, very much honed for this game as a kind of a warmer teaser for the next round qualifiers for them.
All right, so the quick predictions straight away on that one. Laois against Waterford. I'm sensing you're going Waterford, are you?
Yeah, I'm going Waterford, yeah.
The other qualifier then, 1:30, Clare against Wexford, Semple Stadium. Who's going to stay in the championship?
Yeah, that's a really, really tough one. I'd say I will just edge towards Clare, just for the points that I mentioned, just for mentally, I think they will grind it out.
So that's Waterford and Clare going through to the next round of the championship. The provincial titles, who's going to win in Leinster, Dublin or Kilkenny?
Kilkenny.
And then Munster Hurling
Limerick.
Championship final. Yeah, you couldn't walk around a dare after saying Tipperary, could you?
Well, you know, I'm from Galway, and Galway's number one. So I always fly that flag, very much so. But yeah, no, I'm in Limerick now for years, so I love it down here as well. But yeah, Galway won, and then and Limerick are my second team. And also shout out to the Camogies Championship, who are kicking off this weekend as well. You have Kilkenny All-Ireland Champions taking on Clare, and you have Galway, who lost the All-Ireland Final last year, taking on Westmeath, and the Junior and Intermediates are kicking off as well this weekend. So both games are being live streamed, so should also be cracking weekend of matches on the Camogie side of things.
Ashlyn Connolly, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, Neil. Take care. GAA on Off the Ball.